Good morning. It's Thursday, January 15th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News.
And one last thing.
Tom Schein retired as KMUW News Director at the end of 2025, and it's been difficult to let him go. We'll share a few of our favorites of Tom's commentaries after the news. The Wichita special election on a proposed 1% city sales tax will go ahead as planned on March 3rd. Mayor Lily Wu called a special city council meeting yesterday to talk about delaying the ballot question until the August primary. Her motion failed 5-2. Councilmember Becky Tuttle says a delay would unfairly move the goalposts for the sales tax issue.
And I feel like today, having a delay in this is changing the rules in the middle of the game for both parties, for the vote yes side and the vote no side.
The proposed sales tax would direct money to public safety, cultural and housing investments, and property tax cuts. The council plans to discuss those projects at a workshop on January 27th. Wichita Public Schools is partnering with the Sedgwick County Election Office to establish more polling sites in the county. South, West, and Southeast high schools already serve as polling sites, but with the county recently losing some of its existing polling places, the district says it will open up 9 to 12 more school buildings. Sedgwick County Election Commissioner Laura Rainwater says schools make ideal polling places.
They are well-known landmarks at convenient locations, which will reduce voter confusion and hopefully improve turnout.
The polling sites would open for the August primary and November general election. They would not be open for Wichita's special election on the proposed sales tax in March. District and county officials are still determining exactly which buildings would become polling sites. Governor Laura Kelly addressed civility in politics and cell phones in schools as she delivered her final State of the State speech in Topeka on Tuesday. Jay Schaefer reports.
The governor called on both parties to dial down divisive rhetoric and find more common ground. One idea with bipartisan appeal this session could be a proposed ban on cell phones in public schools. Governor Kelly says smartphones and social media have exposed our children to a world they are not ready for and to social pressures they don't need or deserve.
Research on this is very clear. Anxiety in our kids is up. Depression is up. Tragically, suicide is up.
The governor says cell phones are making it harder for kids to learn and harder for teachers to teach. I'm Jay Schaefer.
Kansas officials say they're making progress to reduce how often the state overpays people for food assistance. As Dylan Lyson of the Kansas News Service reports, the state must drop its error rate below 6% or risk losing some federal funding in the future.
The Kansas error rate last year was just over 9%, which would mean a $40 million federal funding cut in 2028. In the past, the state had an error rate between 10% and 12%. Carla Whiteside Hicks of the Kansas Department for Children and Families says the state is training to reduce documentation issues and adding technology to double-check complicated scenarios.
Let's go back and review and make sure that you really did get this right, because this is one of those cases that is at a high risk for error.
She says the state's goal is to reach compliance by the end of the fiscal year, and the state's most recently reviewed monthly error rate was 5.5%. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Dylan Lyson in Overland Park.
Harvey County leaders have passed a measure to ban the construction of data centers in unincorporated parts of the county, at least for the next few years. The Harvey County Commission approved a resolution Tuesday that halts potential applications to develop data centers through the end of 2028. Officials say there has not been an application submitted. The moratorium will give the county's planning department and zoning board time to create regulations on data centers. Opponents of data centers say they create environmental challenges because they use large amounts of energy and water. Kansas schools that choose to use a gun detection software program supported by State Attorney General Chris Kobach could receive a cut of $10 million from the state. Kobach announced this week that grant money to implement the new technology is available to districts. The system was developed by the Pennsylvania-based company Zero Eyes. It uses cameras already inside school buildings and links them to AI software to scan for weapons. Six Kansas schools have applied for the program so far. It's not clear when the technology would be installed. Baltimore-based artist Stephen Towns will speak tomorrow at the Wichita Art Museum about his new exhibition, Safer Waters, picturing black recreation at mid-century. KMUW's Carla Eccles reports.
Inspired by Black American history, Stephen Towns created paintings and 7 new handcrafted quilts that highlight often hidden stories about recreational life. Wichita Art Museum Director Molly McPherson.
The museum is really interested and taken with Stephen's goal of sharing moments from African American history and the stories that aren't always told. And in this exhibition, seeing scenes of Black recreation, Black joy, Black leisure is really important.
Towns will speak tomorrow night at 6:30 and will be available for questions during Family Art Venture on Saturday. Both events are open to the public. For KMUW News, I'm Carla Eccles.
Wichita's Equity Bank Park has been named the 2025 Professional Baseball Field of the Year by a national group. The Sports Field Management Association announced the award this week. Equity Bank Park is home to the Wichita Wind Surge minor league baseball team. The award recognizes the best natural grass field among 120 minor league baseball teams. The honor reflects the work of the stadium's grounds crew in maintaining a high-quality playing surface. The Wind Surge will kick off its 2026 season on April 2nd against the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. We'll be back after this.
Tomorrow on the Range, learning to make books the old-fashioned way. Plus, a rare look at a piece of civil rights history. So join us on the Range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Fletcher Powell. Our former news director, Tom Schein, retired at the end of 2025, and it's been hard to say goodbye. We're having one last retirement party for him tomorrow night with an open house here at the station. In the meantime, here's one last listen to One Last Thing.
And one last thing. As Wichita embarks on another plan for the Downtown River Corridor, it's worth remembering the plan put forward in 1991 by a group led by developer Jack DeBoer. It included an amusement park, sports arena, outdoor amphitheater, restaurants, a marina, a new hotel, and, who can forget this, a 299-foot-tall keeper of the plains. Now that was a plan. I think of Tom Moffett nearly every day, and as Memorial Day approaches, those thoughts will only grow. Tom was born 8 days before my son, and they grew up together. Tom's mother and my wife have been best friends since middle school. We shared birthday parties, sleepovers, and holidays. He and my son played on basketball and baseball teams I coached. Tom was just starting to fill out his gangly frame the last time I saw him, shortly before he shipped out to Afghanistan. He was killed in action about a month after his 21st birthday. We went to his funeral at Arlington National Cemetery. Tom is now surrounded by others who also gave, as Lincoln said, their last full measure of devotion. Lest we forget on this Memorial Day weekend. Where does time go? One day you're walking her to the first day of kindergarten, the next day you're walking her down the aisle. Children are a gift, but they're not yours forever. They become adults one day, meet someone, and begin a life of their own. And you're happy for them, and proud of the person they've become. But still you wonder, where does time go? To my daughter Laura on her wedding day, love always. This week in 1910, my grandfather arrived at Ellis Island. Patrick Schein was the first member of my family to immigrate to this country. He stole the egg money from his family farm in Ireland to finance his trip. When he landed in America, he had an 8th grade education, less than $50 in his pocket, and a desire to find a better life than the one he left behind. His first stop was the steel mills in Pittsburgh before moving. Spring semester classes end next week at Wichita State, and that means the editing course I teach also is winding down. I'm always surprised how over a span of 14 weeks, your relationship with students can change so much. In January, they were just 10 names on a sheet of paper. And now, they're people, all who have shared a piece of themselves with me. I know a little about their hopes and dreams for the future, about their struggles, about how they think, what they're passionate about. The NCAA basketball tournament began this week, and I'm happily watching it from my couch. I traveled to 3 NCAA tournaments in the mid-1980s, when I was a sports writer for the Eagle. And while people may think it's glamorous to cover a major sporting event, it's not. It's sort of an endless loop of media conferences followed by games, followed by more media conferences, followed by more games. Long days, long nights. My daughter, Elena, has always been focused on academics. When she was in second grade, she told me she got the highest score in her class on a math test. When I asked her how she knew that, she told me she asked every classmate what they scored. Her tactics have changed, but not her dedication. She ripped through high school, college, and medical school, flew halfway across the country for her three-year residency, followed by a two-year fellowship. Elena sometimes lamented how her studies made it tough to start a serious relationship. Well, she's figured that out too. Elena and Greg Tupelik will get married this month in the San Juan Islands near Seattle. As parents, we want so... For a lot of people, adulthood is a series of stages. There's the single stage, then married, married with kids, and empty nester. But if you're lucky, there's one final stage, grandparent. I got to meet Mino Thomas Cowan Shine last weekend. He was born in Los Angeles earlier this month to my son Connor and his wife Jill. He's got a lot of dark hair, long eyelashes and fingers like his dad, and beautiful expansive eyes like his mom. Holding him this weekend, I was transported back to 1989 when Connor was born. He brought boundless joy into our lives, as did his two sisters who followed a few years later. The depth of love you have for your children is hard to express. I've learned it's the same for grandchildren. Mino, you can call me Poppy. And one last thing. As I was getting ready for work on Monday, I walked through our dining room and noticed the ash tree in our front yard. Its yellow gold leaves were whirling and spinning as they tumbled to the ground. Backlit by a bright November sun, it was like nature's confetti machine in action. It was mesmerizing. Being an English lit major, it wasn't hard for me to make the connection between one season ending and another beginning. And how life is like that, with each of us moving from one season to the next, as I am now, with my retirement approaching. I lingered in the dining room, watching the show. I knew I could get to work a little late, because I wasn't responsible for the morning meetings anymore. The next day, I checked on the tree. All the leaves had fallen. A new season was beginning.
Again, Tom's retirement party is tomorrow night. It's an open house here at KMUW from 5 to 8, and everyone is invited. If you'd like to RSVP, you can do that at kmuw.org. Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
This week on Marginalia, we speak with Belle Burton about her memoir, Strangers.
I believed I was happily married to a wonderful man, a great father and great husband. And then one day he told me he wanted a divorce. He gave me no explanation and he walked out.
Saturday morning at 11:30 on 89.1 KMUW.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.